I personally felt weird about clowns, but dressing up a Ronald McDonald paid me well. Handling fake smiles and balloons all day to the kids, I barely got time to sit or even go to the washroom that night. So, when it was just 10 minutes before closing, and the restaurant had emptied, I quickly rushed to release myself. Once I came back, the cashier told me a woman was looking for me. I thought it would be just another parent waiting to pose their kid with a hideous-looking clown. I asked the cashier where the woman they pointing at the exit. A frail, middle-aged woman was standing outside the McDonald's. She was looking at the sky with a smile on her face. I walked up to her and asked,
Ma'am, you were looking for me?
She slowly looked down, and we made eye contact. In that very moment, a rush of discomfort flowed down my spine. I don't know why, but the woman's stare gave me the creeps. She blinked twice, then said,
"My son, he wanted a photo with you. He just loves Ronald."
I looked around awkwardly, smiling. "So where is he?" She thought for a second, then asked,
"Who?"
Your son, ma'am. A pale sadness dawned at her.
"He's sick. Can you come with me? He's waiting for you."
I felt bad for judging her too quick. Poor woman must have left the sick kid at home, promising a picture with me. Seeing me quiet, she spoke again.
I'll pay you if you see my son and click a photo with him."
Any other time, I would have done this for free. But at that moment, I too needed the money bad, so I happily agreed. I went back into the McDonald's, got my money from the manager, and started following the woman to her house. On the way, I thought she would explain what's going on with her son, but surprisingly, the entire time, she didn't even mention the kid once. She just kept walking ahead of me, quietly. I guess she was already worried about her life, so I didn't bother with any more questions either. As we walked, houses passed us. Streets that led to those houses went away, but we didn't stop. I wanted to ask her where we were going, but again, I hesitated. After walking for 15 minutes straight, we left the suburbs and got onto a narrow, dusty road. I was getting really confused, so finally I asked her, "How far is your house?" She stopped suddenly, turned back, and looked at me like I had said something stupid.
"Why would I take it to my house?"
she said with confusion on her face. "To see your kid? You said your son..." She didn't let me finish.
"Oh no, my son is not at home. He is waiting for us at the cemetery."
The nonchalant tone of her voice sent a shiver down my spine. What the hell is going on? Where is she taking me? I asked her why her son is at the cemetery, but she didn't reply anymore, just kept walking. A hint of shady business alerted my mind, but then I thought, I'm 6 foot tall, weighing 170 pounds. On the other hand, this woman is thin as a twig. What harm could she do me? Also, she said she's going to pay, so let's see what she's up to. We did stop outside a cemetery. Pushing the rusty, creaking gate, she took me to a child's grave. That's when the truth hit me. Her son is already dead. Pointing at an epitaph that read, "Our beloved Michael sleeps here in peace."
"Go ahead. Tell him a joke. He will laugh."
Her wide, with doll-like eyes fixed on me, was waiting for me to follow her instructions. No matter how creepy it was, I could fathom the underlying grief in her stare. I played along, not for the money, rather to provide some comfort to this mother grieving for her lost child. I told a lame joke, and for a second, the silence of the graveyard prevailed. And then I heard a chuckle. A chuckle of a child. It's right to say I was on the verge of having a heart attack, when I heard the chuckle again. But then realized it was her. Eyeing at the grave, the woman was laughing like a kid. This continued for probably a few seconds, but it felt like eternity. Standing in a graveyard with a deranged woman in front of her child's grave, there I was. Creepy-ass Ronald McDonald felt less scary at that moment, I couldn't play along anymore. I turned around and started walking. I didn't run, because if that woman chased me, I definitely would have had a heart attack. I walked faster and faster. She screamed from behind.
Wait! Michael wants a picture with you! Wait!
I could see her following me, but she was physically weak, hence couldn't match my pace. She kept pleading with me to come back, but I didn't. That was the last time I took the gig to dress as Ronald. I feared the woman would come again the next day, asking me to go back to the grave of her dead son because every kid wanted to click picture with Ronald McDonald's. Last week, my sister went on a business trip, leaving my nephew at my place. My nephew loves me because I have always been the fun uncle for him. There was no strict bedtime or constant banning of fast foods at my place. We had a fun week, and on our last day together, we decided to go to McDonald's for burgers. When we reached, the first thing that caught my mind was how busy the restaurant was. I placed the order and picked up the food. Just then, my nephew pointed to a seat where a middle-aged man was also sitting. I didn't think much, and we sat down. There was a long-cut mark on his right cheek that appeared pretty fresh.
Happy Meal, huh? Let's see what toys you got.
Ricky looked at me with timid eyes, and I nodded at him. He showed his minion toys to the man. The man took a keen interest in the toys, which gave me weird vibes. The man kept talking about how he loves McDonald's toys, because each one is unique. Then went on saying the previous toys used to be more exciting, but it was a shame they got banned. Now that interested Ricky, and he started talking to the man as well. It was all a casual convo, so I didn't see any harm in it. But now, when I look back, I realize what a grave mistake it was.
Why did they ban the toys?
Well, some people thought they were wrong.
Wrong? Why?
I expected the man to discuss any hazardous factor about the old McDonald's toys. Still, instead, he put his hand into his pocket. I watched him struggling to take out something from his pocket, which obviously had been stuck. Ricky got impatient and asked,
What? What is it?
The man smiled, ear to ear, still struggling to get whatever it was in his pocket. I was curious too at this point. Then, I heard a crushing sound of a paper bag. The man took out this paper bag, which had something inside. He placed the bag on the table and pulled out this bizarre McDonald's toy, shaped like a jellyfish. Its droopy tentacles, human-like face, and oddly fixed grin violated the lines between kids' meal fun and explicit intent. Its translucent dome head only added to the alien horror, making it weirdly memorable and slightly disturbing.
Isn't it amazing? Look how big it is! Touch it! Touch it to feel its hard surface!
Now here, I had to put a stop. The implication of the toy and the man's sarcastically chosen words made me understand his evil intention. This guy is sick. My face turned red in embarrassment, and in a low but strict voice, I said,
Excuse me, I don't think you should talk to my kid like that.
His eyes, which were fixated on Ricky for the last few minutes, shifted to me.
Kids love toys. I'm just telling him to touch it once. What's wrong with that?
He doesn't need to touch anything that you have been in contact with. Now, you better leave this place or I'm gonna make you.
Really?
He leaned slightly closer to my face and said,
What are you gonna do? Ban me from McDonald's?
I was on the verge to beat the crap out of him, but he got up and left.
That guy gave me the creeps, Uncle Ted.
Me too. Let's go home. We'll eat in the car.
I was fuming with rage. On our way to the exit, I informed the McDonald's employee about the guy, but she brushed it off, saying creeps are all over the world. We got in the car and were about to drive away, when suddenly, a big hand stomped on my window. It was him. Again. Ricky screamed in terror. Without opening the window, I cussed him and told him I'll go to the cops right now, but none of my words created any worry on his face. Instead, he took out the jellyfish toy and gave it a big lick from bottom to top. I wanted to get down and slap him as hard as I could, but Ricky was already crying, so I had to drive home. The poor kid barely slept that night. The next morning, when I dropped him off at the airport, he was constantly looking around with fear in his eyes. I knew what he was thinking, but I didn't bring up the man again. Once he got home safely to my sister, I called her and told her everything. I even reported the guy to the cops, but since he didn't do anything physically harmful to us, the cops said they couldn't arrest him. I really hope that pervert trips and falls into a manhole, because people like him are nothing but filth to society. It was a boring Saturday night, and my parents went to visit my grandma. I was randomly scrolling through Netflix when Susie invited me to grab a bite at McDonald's with her little brother. I called my mom and told her about this sudden plan. Even though she said yes, I could spot the worry in her voice for going out after dark. But I was 16, and at that age, we hardly listened to our parents. I thought she was worrying for nothing because the restaurant was just two blocks away, and I always carried mace in my bag. Putting some music in my ears, I peacefully walked to the restaurant. It was only 7 p.m., so the place was flooding with customers. Susie waved at me from a table in the corner, and I smiled at her. We laughed, we joked, and we gossiped with every bite of our burgers. I ate a little too much fries, which didn't leave space for the entire Big Mac to fit in. Just when I was thinking of wrapping it up and take home for a midnight snack, a filthy-looking homeless guy approached our table.
If you're not gonna eat it, can I have it?
His voice sounded broken, like he had a years-old cough stuck in his larynx. He took out a dirty, muddy hand from his pocket and stretched it in my direction, hoping I would hand him my food.
Sorry, but I'm gonna eat it later.
His face turned sad as he said those lines. His eyes sunk deep with pleading, but I stuck to my decision. Susie suggested to buy him some food, but I stopped her.
Why don't you get a job so you can buy food for yourself?
I said this out loud to catch the attention of the security. I also exaggerated a lie when they asked us if he was bothering us. In the next 2 minutes, he was thrown out of the store. They pushed him so hard that he fell on the pavement and broke his tooth. I was happy that he's gone, but Susie told me I was too harsh on him. We chilled out there for an hour more, and then got up to go home. Susie asked me to wait so her dad could drop me home, but my mom had called me thrice already. I said I'll walk home. Saying our goodbyes, I started heading home. Putting my earbuds back on, I started on the empty streets. Headlights of passing cars accompanied me through the night, when suddenly, someone threw a rock at me. It hit my head so hard that I felt I would faint. I grabbed a tree on the sidewalk and touched the back of my head, felt a swollen bump. I groaned in pain and looked around to see who threw it. Turning around, I saw a familiar face. It was the homeless guy from MACD. He was hunched on the sidewalk just a few inches away. A mix of anger and hatred illuminated his face under the neon streetlights. Before the sense of fight or flight could kick in, he sprinted towards me, grabbed me by the shoulders, and started shaking me violently.
Help! Help!
I screamed. My face was covered in my tears and sweat, but there was hardly anyone to hear my cry. I felt I was gonna vomit when he stopped. Still grabbing my shoulders, he brought his face closer and screamed at me, opening his mouth. His bad breath mixed with his spit spray-printed my face. Blood was oozing from his broken tooth.
I'm sorry! Let me go! Please!
He then pushed me on the sidewalk, making me lose my balance and fall on my back. I forgot about the Mac. I forgot I could fight. Like a tiny bug trying its best to set free from a spider web, I almost crawled back on my hands. The guy just stood there, watching me go through all the emotions before I got up and started running. I could hear his laughter echoing in the night. When I reached home, I called my mom and broke down like a little girl. My parents drove back home ASAP, but until they arrived, I just sat in the living room corner, crying and fearing the guy might show up at my house too. I constantly kept checking out the window to see if he was standing on the streets. Luckily, he wasn't. I didn't sleep well for at least a month after that incident. I didn't go out after dark for a year. Now, when I look back to the situation and think about it, I realize I did wrong the poor guy. All he asked for was food, and I denied him quite rudely. I'm 30 years old now. Until today, whenever I come across a homeless person, I offer them some money as my repentance for treating that man like he didn't matter.